From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Boys, today, let us not leave your presence the same as we came. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody said amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a big hand clap and you may be seated. Wow. Welcome this Sunday morning to our Jesus service. Amen. How many of you are here for the first time today? Today's your first time here. Can I see your hand? Wow. Okay. Wow. Oh, clap. Can you stand? If you're here for the first time, you want to stand? Oh, clap for them. Clap for them. Clap for them. Clap for them. Wonderful people. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. You may take your seat. Wonderful. It's a very interesting weekend, isn't it? In the history of this country. We're going to the polls. We're going to vote for the next leadership of our country. So people are very excited. I am not that excited. I'm excited about Sunday. I'm excited about church. Hallelujah. There are many things that excite people. And it's up to you to decide what excites you. For some people, you know, going to the movies excites them. For some, eating is exciting. When they get chow mein, they get excited. You know, for some also, when they are traveling, when they get a chance to travel, they get excited. And then for many people also, this time of election and all of that, people are so caught up. I mean, it's good that Jesus is not coming today, at least. Not before 12 o'clock. 5 minutes more. I don't know what some people will say to him. I'm sure they will tell him, oh, we were preparing for elections. That's why we didn't go to church this Sunday. Because I was talking to a young lady yesterday. And she said, you know, she's, a returning officer or something of that nature. So this morning she has to go to the school where, you know, people are going to come and vote. And then make sure that things are in order and all of that. I mean, it's fantastic, isn't it? But I'm glad you are here in church on this Sunday morning. The first day of March 2020. This day may never come again. There is nowhere from now that you are going to find 1st March 2020 ever again. And so it is important that you came today. Every day is special. Every day God gives us is very special. And you have to make sure that you do what God wants you to do in that day. Are you with me? Now, there are so many things that people learn in life. There are so many things. Are you with me? Are you here? I'm preaching for just a few minutes, so don't sleep, okay? Even if you are sleeping, find some toothpick and put it in your eyes. I've watched Mr. Bean before. Mr. Bean, he put a toothpick in his eyes. He was driving so that he doesn't sleep. Are you there? Right. There are so many things that people learn and people study. For those who don't learn anything, you will be surprised about the type of things, the many things that people study. People study about plants. If this grass that is there, we may look at them and say, oh, this is a lot of weeds, a lot of bush. But somebody who knows or has studied plants will come here and say, hey, that is medicine. Are we not all familiar with bush? Is it bush we call it? Yeah, granny will make some bush. Granny backbone. There are things, if you enter the forest right now, there are things that some people will know and you will not know. That is how many things were discovered, like gold and diamond and silver and copper. All these things. People see them and they pass by. People see them and they pass by. But somebody will see it and say, hey, I know what this thing is. This thing is good for this. And then they make use of that. So there's a lot of training, a lot of teaching going on in this world. Some people go and they do cosmetology. One day, a lady in my church told me that anytime I want to do manicure and pedicure, it's free, I should come. I said, hey, me, I'm not a girl, I'm a bi. I's a bi. And we bi's, we don't do them fancy things girls just do. So no, men do it too. I have some men who come around and say, I am not such a man. I don't have time to come and sit for you to take my toes and ju-ju-ju-ju-ju-ju. Hey, what about if you do that and then something goes into me and then I feel something? Yeah, I don't want no problems. No. As a man of God, you should be careful who touches your feet. Who cuts your hair? It's also very important. Who touches your hair? It's very important as a Christian who does that. So the lady said, oh, men come and do it. I said, thank you very much. I come from Africa. Africa, we don't do those things. African men, we don't do those things. We don't behave like girls. Are you with me? But some men do it. That's fine. So some people go and they do cosmetology. They can put something on your nails and make your nail get long. They'll draw the Guyana flag on it. Man! Skills. Some people know how to cook. I mean, there is no meal they will not be able to cook. Some of you don't know how to cook. There are some people who know how to cook. If you give them cassava, they can make, you see, for those who know what cassava is, cassava can do so many things. It can do breakfast, it can do lunch, it can do dinner. I see, if you have not studied cassava or cassavology, you will not understand what it does. A lot of people go to school to learn about banking, learn about money, they learn about health, medical things. If they see your head, they can see. If they open your head, they can see all kinds of things. If you open your head, me, I'll say, what is that? But if you meet a doctor, I see blood. I say, I don't want to see blood. But if a medical doctor opens your head or opens your stomach, he sees all kinds of things. Now, one of the, sad to say, places where teaching doesn't happen a lot is in the church. In the church, people don't study about the kingdom of God and about God. People think they know God. God is taking so much for granted that people think they know God. You see, there's a mad girl who came to our church. And then she went on Facebook to say all kinds of bad things about me. I mean, it's not important. As for things, people say things. But one of the things she said that I find very interesting is that we take two offerings. Of course we take two offerings. If you go to any church, they have what they do. I don't know which church you have gone to see people dancing like that. I don't know which church you've gone and they do that. I don't know which church that you enter the gate and you have to walk all the way to the back. I'm sure some of you say, what? We gotta go to that place there. It's a different church. All the churches are in front, right? But you see, because people in churches don't want to give up anything for the kingdom of God. They want the kingdom rather to do everything for them. Are you with me? There is no meaningful relationship in this world that is not a give and take. Should I say it again? There is no meaningful relationship in this life that is not based on give and take. So when it comes to God, it is even more giving than taking. Because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. A price that none of us can pay. And therefore, you can spend your 70 years, your 80 years, your 90 years on earth. You still cannot pay for the cost of the blood of the Son of the living God. You cannot pay for it. You cannot pay for it. So when it comes to church, it is more giving than receiving. And the Bible says there's more blessing in giving than in receiving. So this mad girl went on Facebook and said all kind of bad things about me. But one of the things is we take two offerings. Now, I don't know yet. I don't know. Maybe you've seen it, but I have not seen it yet. On the West Bank, any project of this nature, there are churches and there are churches. This floor, you see, and sometimes you don't know who is even in church. So when you say some things, then people go and say, they take it out and say all kinds of things. This floor here that we are sitting on, it's millions of dollars. I can give you the dimensions of this hall. And you can go to Puran Brothers and ask them, you want to cast a floor 4 inches thick with this dimension, 70 by 164 or whatever. How much will it cost me? Give me a quotation. When they give you the quotation, you black out. You black out. You see, because when people come to church, they give the change they have as an offering. People don't give money that is worth anything to the church. That is why from time immemorial, they have a saying that you are as poor as a church mouse. Because the church it has been sentenced to poverty. The church has been sentenced to poverty. It's like, if you're in the church, you're supposed to be poor. But you see, the other side is that people who go to church want things to work out for them, but they don't want things to work out for the church. That is why I don't work anywhere. I work for the church. Because the church needs time. I could work anywhere in this country. I could work anywhere in this country. I could live in any part of the world also. But I've chosen and I chose to give myself to the church. Since 2005, I've been working full-time for the church. That's 15 years ago I started. You see, and so the lack of church education, the lack of education about the church, about how church works, about how church is together, about God, about salvation, make people walk around very ignorant. And so they look at something and they criticize. Many people don't pay tithe. Many people don't want to give a tenth of their salary to the church. Because they say to it, in fact, they actually say it is going to the pastor. I don't know about other pastors, but I said, I was preaching in Georgetown the other day, and I told them, if it's about money, there are ways to get money. If you are serious to get money, you don't start a church. You go to Gafos, ask him, is he looking for money? And if he says yes, ask him why he's doing building materials and not church. I'm sure he will have an answer for you. Nobody who is serious looking for money will start a church. People think that there's money in church. Yeah. I can let them take out the money in the bag you give and count it for you. You'll be very surprised how much money is in the bag. A little bit. Why should I wait for people Sunday after Sunday to preach and get money? When Monday to Saturday or Monday to Monday, I can do something and get money all the time. Ask yourself, Why should I wait Sunday for you to come? So what about if you don't come? And I won't get money? Yeah, I don't have time. If it's money that I'm looking for, I will not be in the church. So when somebody puts it on Facebook that Shepherd House International, the church is money, is money-making business, that there is water in that person's head. Demerara River water in that person's head. Why am I saying this? Because the person has no idea. Because people who look for money don't look for money once a week, only on Sunday. 2 hours, 3 hours. How much money will you get? A big man like me. I have wife, I have children. Hey, my wife will leave me. He said, you're a pastor, he's a poor man. If you need anything, see, one of those gentlemen with the time, those who were taking offering, just go to one and ask, please, I need this. Where do I get it? All right? And like I said, even us, we used to have church. We used to be in Georgetown. And then we've come to start another church here. In the Georgetown church, the washroom is just right behind the building. Since we came here, the washroom is all the way to the front. So when you come here, you have to learn how to keep pee-pee inside of you. If you try number two, there's no way to do number two here. So me, Sunday morning, I don't eat. As I'm standing here, the only thing I've had is coffee 2 a.m. when I woke up. I had just a cup of coffee and that's it. I'm fine. That's why I'm slim. I don't have any trouble. I don't have any trouble going to pee, going to poo-poo. I don't have those problems. After I finish preaching and I talk to whoever wants to talk to me, and when I go, I say, where's the food? Bring the food now. I just saw you drank a big cup of tea. Big cup like that. Big cup. A big potty full of tea. Because if you don't drink porridge, you get basidi Sunday morning. If you don't drink tea, you get wind. The north wind will blow inside of your stomach. Tea at 8, 5, a bag of tennis roll. Ash. Are you here? Anyways, I'm talking about education, teaching. The Bible says that when God started the church, he gave the church 5 different offices. One is the apostle, one is the prophet, one is the evangelist, one is what? The pastor, and the other one is the teacher. So in the church, there is the gift we call teaching. You don't go to Sir Porter's College of Education. It's a grace God gives you to teach. Because in the church, you need to be taught. That's Miling's daughter. Ah, hi. You're welcome. Wow. In the church, you need to teach people. God wants us to be taught. When Jesus came here on earth, he took his disciples and he taught them. One time Peter asked Jesus, you know, when you called me, I had a job. I left the job to come and follow you. What am I going to get? Jesus had to teach Peter about that. That when you leave a job to follow these things, you don't lose, you rather gain. Because otherwise nobody will lose anything, because who wants to lose something? But in the kingdom of God, when you lose, you gain. That is why I have left my church in Georgia and I've come into this forest here. Because I know that there's something you gain. When you lose something, you gain. Yeah. And I've been in my suit this Sunday morning and my tie. Preaching in Georgetown. Yes. Small hall. The sound is good. Yeah, the people are excited. Air conditioned office. But I have been taught, I have learned something in the kingdom of God. That in the kingdom of God, you just don't gain by gaining, you gain by losing. So there's something about salvation that I want to teach you this morning. Are you ready to hear something about salvation? Now, there is what we call the 7 great principles. There's a book here by Doug Ewart Mills, the founder of our church. So I'm actually preaching from this book. Seven Great Principles. And it is the principles about salvation. Because people don't understand salvation. Salvation is when you give your heart to God, or what Christ came to do for us. Christ came, he became poor, he became a human being, and he died on the cross of Calvary. Many people don't understand why Jesus came, why he had to die, and why that death means something to me. I wasn't even born when Jesus died. How can that have something to do with me? You need to be taught about that. Are you with me? As we are going to have elections, there's a lot of things out there. You have to go and vote. They say this, registration. There are so many things that go into the elections. You see, and the church, people don't know a lot of things that goes into church. And that is what I am trying to do this morning, to teach you about what we call salvation. Salvation is when you give your heart to Christ, when you accept what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary. So I started last week, and the first principle I gave the church is that man, you as a man, you are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. Man is a spirit. That man has a soul, and he lives in a body. People don't know that just as the Bible says that God created us after his image and likeness, and God is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we too, we are three in one. Spirit, soul, and body. Many people dispute the fact that God is three in one. They don't understand. It's just that the Muslims don't believe that God has a son. They say it's an abomination. But I say it all the time. If God wants a grandmother, he can create a grandmother. Yeah, I don't know the type of God you have. But the God that I know, if he wants an uncle, he can create an uncle. He's a God of all possibilities. Are you with me? So when people say, oh, God cannot have a son, it means that the God that you know is not the God I know. And therefore, it's not the same God. Yeah, he created this. How can he not create an uncle if he wants an uncle? So man is a spirit. Man has a soul. And man lives in a body. Are you following what I'm saying? That's the first principle I taught last week. The second principle was what? The spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. The Bible says that the heart of man is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Now, you may probably not agree with me, but if you see the nice things that all these political leaders are telling us now, do you think it's fair? When it wasn't time for election, they were not telling us nice things. Now that it's time for election, they're telling us, everybody, all of a sudden they can create 50,000 jobs. All of a sudden they can give us a new bridge. All of a sudden they can... The heart of somebody who's not saved. Don't trust the heart of some. You see, and that is what does not make me... I have a politician friend who has asked me to invite him to the church. But you know what is interesting about it? He wants me to do a big program and invite him to come. He's been on my case for many years. As I said, every Sunday is a special day. Why do you want me to put God's people together for you to come and quote John 3:16 that you don't even know well and give a political speech? Like yesterday, I was talking to a young lady and she asked me, who am I voting for? I said, sweetheart, I can't tell you that. You can tell me yours, but I can't tell you. Why? Because as a pastor, if I tell you that I am voting for this party, some of you won't like me anymore. No, a pastor is supposed to be for all kinds of people. And therefore, anything that will cause a pastor to make the people divided over him is not good. So on that day, even the ballot is private. So why should I tell you who I'm voting for? Yeah, I don't want to create problems in the church. This is Jesus' church. I don't want to create problems. Are you with me? Are you here? So the second principle is that the heart of an unsaved, the heart of what? An unsaved man is dead and desperate. And desperately wicked, isn't it? That is why you don't need to have a friend who is not saved. Because if you have a friend who is not saved, what it means is that you are actually relating with somebody whose heart is a wicked heart. According to the Bible. I mean, if it wasn't the Bible, I'll live my life differently. I'll come here in short pants and a vest and then put my cigarette in my mouth like that and then do my rasta hair. And as I'm preaching, I'll be smoking and say, ah, ah, ah. Yeah, as I'm preaching, I'll tell the sound people, I said, put on Rastaman vibration, yeah. So I can preach well. As I'm preaching, I'm dancing Rastaman. When I say one or two things, then I'll pass it. I said, take a piece. Take a puff. And so I come and say, what? I went to a church, the pastor, what? He's preaching smoke. He's preaching smoke. Hallelujah. You see that my name will be, even God and Mosley will come here. Travis Chase, they'll come and see that pastor who is preaching smoke. You see, but the Bible doesn't teach me that. The Bible teaches me that as a pastor, I should be dressed well, I should behave well, I should have my behavior, my character should be good. Otherwise, people will not learn well from me. I have learned that in the Bible and in the church. So I cannot just go around and do anything. That's why you will not know the party I support, if I support anybody. I'm not like the pastors who are clearly with some parties. You don't do that. Ethically, it's not right. Even eating. Do you know that there are some jobs when you become a lawyer and all of that? There are some things you don't do as a lawyer. There are some things you don't do as a doctor. I can't be after church, then I get some puri. Then as I'm talking to you, no, God doesn't like that, you know. What kind of person is that? So there's a lot of teaching and training that goes on in the church. And God wants you to be trained. God wants to teach you also about salvation. Can I have an amen? So this morning, I want to go to the third principle. So what's the first principle? Man is a spirit. He has a soul and lives in a body. So this body you have is just for a period. If you are a landlord, please be nice to your tenant. Tell to somebody sitting next to you. Tell the person, if you are a landlord, please be kind to your tenant. Why am I saying that? Because one day, the one who owns this life will take you out of this body. Your agreement will finish. 80 years. Some people don't even live in a house for a long time. Some people, 15 years, and they're dead. And they leave their body right here on earth. So you are a spirit. You have feelings. You have emotions. You have thoughts. And you live in this body called, this body called your flesh. Are you following what I'm trying to say? The second principle is that the spirit of an unsaved man is dead. Because the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. So anybody who has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they are dead. And therefore, their spirit also is dead, because this is a spiritual death. When Adam and Eve ate the apple, they died spiritually. Are you learning well? Are you understanding what I'm talking about? Suvine, are you there? So somebody who is not a Christian, who is not saved, who has not given their lives to God, that spirit is dead. So if you marry somebody like that, you've married somebody who has a dead spirit. Can you imagine what you experience? Will you go to the burial ground and marry somebody who's dead? People say, something wrong with you.
Yeah.
But Christians don't, some Christians don't, they don't mind. They marry people who are not Christians. Oh, he's a nice guy, but he's dead. He's a nice girl, but he's dead. She's dead. Are you with me? That's the third principle, very quickly. I'm preaching. The spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. The spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. Let's say it together. The spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. Let's say it one more time. The spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. Wow. So I want to teach you about that one this morning for a few minutes, and then we will close. The spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4. I am teaching on the spirit of a righteous man, isn't it? The spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says that, and that ye put on the new man, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Remember, we are studying the spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. This is where many people go wrong. When you give your heart to Jesus, when you confess your sins to God and you ask Jesus to come into your heart, what happens is that your spirit becomes a new spirit. That spirit is different from what you do. The problem with Christians is that we don't know the difference between somebody who is saved, who has been given the righteousness of God, and who still does things wrong. And therefore, when you go to church and somebody sees that you're doing something wrong, they say, oh, she says she's a sister. Of course. Is she a brother? She's a sister. When you give yourself to Jesus Christ, he gives you this status called righteousness. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong about that. That righteousness cannot be tempered with. The righteousness that God gives us, there's nothing wrong with it. What is wrong is either your mind or your will or your flesh, not the spirit God has given you. So when you get saved and you find yourself doing bad things, it's not your spirit that is bad. It is your flesh that's not faithful to you. It's your mind that is not working well. It is something about your heart that needs some improvement. But what God gives you, there's nothing wrong about it. That's why the Bible says that new man is righteous, is perfect. The new man God gives you is perfect. What is not perfect is your mind, it's your flesh. Because if you are old enough, you know things. You've tasted things. And because of the knowing things and tasting things, you are no more innocent. So you go through those challenges. That new man that God has given you, he doesn't know how to smoke. Because God doesn't smoke. He doesn't know how to drink. Because God doesn't drink. He doesn't know how to lie. Because God cannot lie. The person who lies is not the new man. Is an old man. The new man has nothing wrong with him. Otherwise, God is not a good God to take away my sinful nature and give me something that also makes me do bad things. What kind of God is that? That you say you help me, you say you save me, and you take away my bad spirit. You give me another spirit that is even worse. Some people say that since I joined the church, it is now that I'm going through a lot of problems. When I was not in the church, I was better off. You are joking. You are a joker. Tell that person that he's a joker. Tell that person for me that he's a joker. The devil wants you to believe that things have become worse since you became a Christian. But he's actually lying to you. Things have actually become better since you became a Christian. Because the spirit that you have now, you can't buy it from a supermarket. You can never get that spirit if God had not saved you. So there's nothing bad about you being a Christian. It's rather the devil who wants to tell you that you're wasting your time. Because he's not happy you've given your life to Jesus Christ. The other part of this principle is that many Christians who sin makes the devil use it against them that they are useless. Should I say it again? You see, there's nothing so bad about a Christian doing bad things. Isn't it, Onika? Have you done bad things before as a Christian?
Yes, Bishop.
Tonifa?
Yes, I have.
Yes. And so the devil says that you... Use what? Let's say, hey, hello, let somebody else preach. You when you wake up Sunday morning, you put it on your clothes, the devil say, where are you going? Sister, where are you going? You going to church? When you go to the church will burn down. Because you are a sinner. What the devil is not telling you is that your spirit is righteous and truly holy. What God has given you has no problem with it. It is the rest that has not been worked on that has the problem. But remember, you are spirit, and therefore the most important part of you is your spirit, which God has actually taken care of. So when you lie, all you have to do is that, hey, Lord, you know my old man. He was just trying to disturb me. Please forgive me. And then you move on. It is the old man that continues problems and issues. It's the old man. The new man is righteous and truly holy. Otherwise, then God is not God. The Bible says that we are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There's nothing wrong about the spirit that God has given to you. What is wrong is it's the flesh. The flesh is used to eating. The flesh is used to drinking. The flesh is used to dancing. And therefore, you have to understand, and we'll come to that, but you should be able to separate. What I'm doing with you this morning is that I'm trying to help you understand the separate parts of your body and your system and what they stand for. Whether they are bad or not, we will come to that in detail as we proceed. But I want you to understand that when God gives you His Spirit when you are saved, that Spirit is holy, is righteous, is perfect. That's why you have to thank God for your Christian life. Because if there was no deposit of His Spirit, I don't know what else or where we would have been. If there was no deposit of His Spirit in our lives. Are you with me? So don't ever say that you are a sinner. You are not a sinner. I said, you are not a sinner. Your spirit is, you are the spirit. That spirit is not a sinner. Phineas, are you with me? How can you tell me that God, the spirit that God has, Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus stands at the door of your heart and knock. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. So when you hear the voice of God and you give your life to Christ, He comes into your heart. He gives you a new spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. How can that new creature that the Bible says that it is put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, how can that new man be a sinner? Watch what you say in your weakest moments. Oh, yes, you did something wrong. It's true. But it doesn't make what God gave you a bad thing. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. Now, if I buy you a brand new car and then you drive it and you get into an accident, is the car that I bought for you bad? You are the one who drove it into that situation. Are you following? So the spirit that God has given us, somehow we take it to do wrong things. And then we claim that spirit also is wrong. The brand new car, there was nothing wrong with the brand new car. You didn't drive well. You are not faithful with the new spirit that God has given you. That is why you find yourself in the club. If you are going to be faithful with the spirit that God has given you, you will not be in the club. Backballing, thank you. Is somebody following what I'm trying to say? You, Lex, are you following? So, the spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. There's nothing wrong about the spirit God has given you. I said, there's nothing wrong about that new creation that you have become. What is wrong is how you manage it in relation to your flesh and your spirit and your soul. It's the management that we get into trouble. Because I can give you $1 million right now. How can you say that I don't love you when I give you $1 million? It's you who went to party and now you become a drunkard. Now, if you don't drink, you can't live. Does that mean that the money I gave you was, I did a bad thing? No, it is. That is what it is. We Christians don't manage the new life God has given us. We don't manage it. God gives you a new spirit, you don't go to church. He gives you a new spirit, you don't pray. He gives you a new spirit, you don't read your Bible. And therefore, your management of the new life now is bad. And it takes you to bad things, into bad places. And that... just as any new thing deteriorates if you don't take care of it, so is the new life in Christ Jesus also. Should I say it again? I said, just as any new thing, there's this law of depreciation. Any new thing gets old. With time, anything that you call new goes away. You can get brand new eyes, uncle, and then after a few years, you can't see far. Your heart can beat for 50 years. At a point, the heart says, I'm tired. I've been beating for 50 years. I mean, you have to give your heart credit when it beats for 50 years. But some people don't want their heart to stop at 50. They want to go to 90. But if you were you, can you beat every second for 90 years? It's an achievement. So when your heart stops, say, oh, congratulations, you've done well. We don't want that. Nobody wants their heart to stop. But just as our life also, so is the spiritual life. If you don't take care of yourself, you don't eat the right food, you don't do the right things, you will die before your time. They say smoking is not good for people. So if you want to smoke, I can put fire here, you can go inside and smoke also. That's a better smoke. It is in the managing of the new life that makes things look bad and look so wrong and look so ugly. But what God gave us is not bad. Don't ever say that since you came to church, you started church, since you came to church, your problems have increased. Don't ever say such an insult. Don't ever annoy God with such a statement. Since I started church, I don't have money. All my money is going to the church. Don't ever say anything like that. What God has done for you, no money can pay for it. The spirit of a saved man is righteous. It's righteous. It's righteous. It's righteous. You cannot make it more righteous than it is. You got a brand new car. What are you going to do to it? Change the engine and put another engine and make it more brand new? What you can do is that you can put on accessories. You can probably tint the glass. You can probably put in, if you have a tape, you can put in a stereo. All you can do, you can just add, but you can't change. You can't change what God gives you and anything that God gives you. Hallelujah. Are you there with me? Now, one thing you need to understand also is that the righteousness that God has given to you is not something you can feel. When you give your life to Christ, hardly will you feel different. Because it's not by feel. The things we feel are not spiritual. It's not all of them. Sometimes you can feel something that is related to the spirit. Feelings is kind of a medium or a channel by which God sometimes relates with us. So when people say, hey, my skin grow or my skin crawl, sometimes it's the sensing of something around. But it's not all the time that you can sense Jombi. Jombi is not a good thing. It's not all the time that your skin grow or crawl. That's a good thing. Sometimes it's even a bad thing. So there's nothing new you can add. Wilbert, are you there? There's nothing new you can add to the new man that God has given to you. It is righteous and truly, not half, truly, truly holy. That's the spirit of a saved man. So you have to make friends with people who are righteous. Saved people should be your friends. You should marry, believe God and pray to God to marry a saved person. You know, in our country, many people don't make a difference between who they marry. Anybody goes. As long as he's good, he's educated, he can take care of me, I love him, that's six pack? What? Even better. You don't have to propose. I give myself away so you can use me. But when you are educated as a Christian, you understand that the guy could be 6-pack, 12-pack, 20-pack, 80-pack, educated, has money, has a car, has a nice house, but is not saved. If you're educated in salvation, you realize that I prefer somebody who is broke, who doesn't have a house, who has not been to school, and is saved. I don't know how many of you ladies will accept somebody like that. You say, oh, but Bishop, God says he'll give us the desires of our heart. Your heart is not a nice heart. The things you desire are not good things. The other day, I went into my son's room, and he was in the room, his food on his bed. He was eating and he was watching something on YouTube. I said, what kind of behavior is this? And the other day, he was complaining that a rat came on his bed. I said, you are feeding the rat. I said, you see what you're doing? You are eating here, you're leaving the food on the bed, and then in the night, these rats, they have a very strong smelling sense. They can smell food from a very far distance. They'll start coming, and as you're sleeping, they are coming around on you, they're biting you, and they're eating the food. You know, children, as you let him do what he wants to do. No. We'll come to that. When you are educated in Christianity, you know what to choose. You know where to go. You know what to say. You know what not to say. You know how to carry yourself. Christianity educates you so much so that the new and perfect nature God has given you kind of comes out. The problem with Christianity is that we don't allow the new man that is perfect to show himself. The body fights it. The soul fights it. The mind, the will, the emotions, the weakness of the flesh, it fights the new man. Because even though you are new, you still have to decide to come to church. The fact that God has given you a perfect spirit doesn't mean that when you wake up in the morning, remote, beep, church. No, somebody would not have invited you today. Yeah. There's nothing more to be done to the true nature of the spirit that God has given to us. Bible says in Philemon verse 6 that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. There's nothing bad in you. Because the you is the spirit, and that spirit is a good spirit when you give your life to Christ. Don't let the devil tell you anything else. Tell the devil, Sunday, first match, I went to church school, you know. I know better than you telling me here, devil. I am not a useless person like you are telling me. I am no useless person. I'm saved. I'm born again. The Bible tells me, I learned in church today that I am a spirit, and that spirit is righteous and is true holy. So Satan, even though my face doesn't look well, the face is not my face. It's a face I took when I came here. If you live in a house with a latrine at the back, would you move? Because you don't have a toilet you can flush? No. You live in a house and you use the latrine. Yeah. I've been to people's houses. Many years ago, a lady came to church. And so I went to visit the lady. When I went, the first thing I saw was a latrine. The latrine faces you. When you enter the yard, the latrine says good morning to you before you go to the place. Nice lady in the church. And then on top of the latrine, I saw a line with these 300-400 Chinese trading type of things. Then lo and behold, the Christian sister I went to visit was there bathing and seeing me. So I waited a little bit. She came up with a towel around her, went inside, excited that the pastor has come to visit her. Went to tell her parents, and then put on something. Came up excited. I was surprised. Because when I saw that lady in church the Sunday before I went to visit her, I could never, even if you had given me a dream from heaven, I would say, no, Satan, get thee behind me. This lady and latrine doesn't work. You understand what I'm telling you? This lady and latrine doesn't work. And lo and behold, I went. It was a latrine. I'm not saying latrine is bad. Latrine is good. If latrine is all you have, why not? You don't waste water. Ghana water won't bring you a big bill. So, if you are not as tall as you wish you were, it doesn't mean that what God has given you is a bad thing. It's the house you rented that is not so okay. But at least it's your own house for the next 80 years. Yeah, just use things. Put paint on the house. Wear these long things they wear. These girls have shoes. When you stand on it, you become tall all of a sudden. Wear those things and feel happy. Until you are dead and you are gone. Don't sit down and say, oh Lord, I'm saved. But every day, I don't know what happens to me. I'm saved, but I lie all the time. Oh Lord, I'm saved. Oh Lord, I'm saved. I'm saved and I drink beer all the time. Oh Lord, what is wrong with me? Oh Lord, you don't love me. Why is it I'm saved and I still like this? Bye. No. As for the case, as for the things that are around, you will feel it. But it's the management of the new spirit that God has given you. You know what? The whole idea is that the spirit that God gives you, the Bible calls it a newborn baby. Amen. The Bible calls it a newborn baby. And that newborn baby is like something that can become big and affect your whole life. But it is given to you very small. Your responsibility is to manage it and make it grow and affect every area of your life. Next week, we'll talk about that principle. Because even though the initial dose is perfect, you need to, it's like, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of,
I'm gonna let it shine.
That's right. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. So God gives you, this new spirit God gives you that is perfect. It is like a little light. You have to let it shine. It is the lack of the shining that still makes the house look dark. It's the lack of the shining that makes the Christian life still look like nothing has changed for the better. It is because you have not learned to allow this little light of yours to shine. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 that let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As for the born again, that you are born again, it's perfect. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong about it. What is wrong is that you are not feeding it. It's like a little baby God has given you. You don't feed the baby. And the baby wants to drink breast milk and say, nah, nah. You don't give the baby breast milk. You give the baby something else. You don't take care of the baby. You leave the baby. I have an auntie who never married. Never had a child after a child she had and the child died. She was a sweet woman. Is there a sweet woman or a sweet man? Only sweet man we got? There's no sweet woman? Let's make a sweet woman from today. There's also a sweet woman. Can we agree on a sweet woman? I don't know what else to call her. But she was somebody who likes to go to club. He likes boy, man. You know, very, how do you call it? Sweet girl. Yeah. From today, there's another, not only sweet boy. You, the girls, you cheat us all the time. You call us this. You say, men are dogs, but you never say who you are. No, you're calling us sweet man. But what is you? Are you bitter woman? If we are sweet, then you are bitter. Why do you always call us names that you don't call yourself names? If he's a sweet man, then you are a bitter woman. Yeah. The man is a dog. So what are you? You a rabbit? Yeah. What are you? What, you're a cat? Why do you call people names? It's not nice. So this is my auntie. Used to go to club all over the place. One day, she got pregnant, gave birth to this nice baby girl. And as the baby was growing, one night, there was this concert, one-man band. She said she ain't taking left at all. She going to the concert. So she asked for somebody to take care of the baby for her. Nobody was willing to do that. So she said, no problem. Give the baby enough breast milk and put the baby to sleep and left the baby to go to the dance. But she came back in the morning, the baby was dead. She never got pregnant again. If you do that, that's what happened to you. If you don't pay attention to the new spirit God has given you, it will die. Something bad will happen to it. So from next week, we're going to take the fourth principle, and I will take it from there. Stand to your feet, please. Put your hands together for the Lord. I've cut your sleep short, isn't it? Those of you who are dozing, you're enjoying the church. Hallelujah. Let's close your eyes with me. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender all. I surrender. Close every head bow. You are here today. You are not saved. You are not born again. As I'm talking about, the spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. You realize that you are not saved. This afternoon, Jesus is calling you to salvation. He wants to save you. He wants to touch your life. He wants to revive, take away the dead spirit and give you a spirit that is alive, that is well, that is perfect. Bishop, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to give my life to God. If you are here like that, I want to ask you to lift up your right hand. I want to pray with you. Bishop, please pray for me. I want to give my heart to God. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I am not saved. I want to be born again today. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. I see all those hands. God bless you. God bless you. Bishop, please pray for me. I want to be saved. I want to give my heart to God today. Just your right hand up high. God bless you. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to please ask you to come to me. Come. Let me pray with you. Come. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. I surrender. Sing it. Clap for them as they come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. God bless you. Oh, all to thee my blessed Savior, I surrender. Oh, clap for them as they come. God bless you, my dear. God bless you. Oh, I surrender. Ashley, surrender all. Clap for them. Come to Jesus this afternoon. Come. God bless you, sir. Surrender all. God bless you, my dear. Oh, come, come, it's not too late. Come to Jesus. Blessed Savior, I surrender. Come, come, clap for them. Many people are coming. Oh,
I surrender.
God bless you. God bless you. You have a whole group with you.
I surrender.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All to thee.
All
God bless
thee,
you.
My
blessed Savior, I surrender. If you are here in front, close your eyes, lift up your two hands, and pray this prayer after me. Church, I want you to join in as we pray together. Say after me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. From today, I believe I am saved. I believe I am born again. I believe my name is in the book of life. I believe now I am a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul on this first day of March 2020. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760. Or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.